October is gone. Here comes Thanksgiving. Are you so excited? I am,
yeah. I like Thanksgiving. It's one of my probably top three holidays.
Yeah. I love the fact that there's no expectation for gifts. Like, this is the only holiday that does not revolve around gifts, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Your birthday, your anniversary, Christmas, even Easter. Yeah.
Well, speaking of anniversary, today is me and Sarah's anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thanks.
What year is it?
Eight.
Eight
married, yeah.
I just had my 15th. It feels like 30. But he's my best friend, and I love him to the ends of the earth. So, yeah. 8 years. That's commitment, man.
Mm-hmm. Not bad for high school sweethearts.
Oh, it's so adorable. We are going to talk about our first piece of fan mail.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I got a message on my personal Facebook account, and it was from somebody that I had no idea, male type. And the message went on saying how much he loved Lightning Within 5, that we were doing such a great job. He listens every month. And where's Dostas?
Where is Dostas?
And I kindly replied to him, thank you so much. You know, we love doing this. But I do believe Dostas did an entire episode signing off, saying farewell. He got out of the Air Force, so Dostas is no more. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel, Alvarez?
I mean, it doesn't bother me.
I think it's just because he was so animated. Like, I'm animated, but Dostas was over the top.
Yeah.
Like, he's a cartoon character in real life.
That's a good way to describe him, yeah.
Yeah. But I think me and you are good together. That's fine. You're a good co-host. But also, with our first fan mail, it was asked why Alvarez and I do not speak in our broadcasting voices the entire episode.
The entire episode?
The entire episode.
That sounds exhausting.
I also explained to him, sir, I don't think you understand what all goes into a broadcasting voice. Rather than sounding like organic, authentic Jen, I would sound like this at all times and talk like a robot. And my voice would fluctuate up and down in inappropriate moments. I hate the way broadcasters talk. It's so not genuine.
Yeah, I'm not a broadcaster. Like traditional or anything like that. I'm to the core photojournalist. So.
And I'm a photographer. We're just doing this because media needed a project to do. And it just panned out well. It's fine. So the answer to that question, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to keep enunciating and speaking in fluctuations that are unneeded when we can just be ourselves.
Agreed.
Yeah. And lastly, about the fan mail. Please, please, please. My personal Facebook?
That's impressive, honestly, that he tracked you down.
Tracked me down.
That's some seriously, and this that's is some serious no, like cyber sleuthing that he did.
I sincerely love everybody that supports us. However, there's boundaries.
However, do not contact me.
There are boundaries. Like, I'm not going to accept your friend request so you can see photos of my family. No, thank you. So there's lots of things on base happening for, you know, the family season, let's call it, right? Like, all the holidays are creeping up. So base is doing, there's a family celebration happening. There's going to be carnival rides and things. By the time this airs, it'll be over with. So we'll just keep rolling on. Warrior Day's coming up. I know everybody's so excited about
that. Yeah. Mandatory Ruck March and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yes. That will be happening on the 18th of November. be there, be square at 0800.
I mean, I'm not mad about it. Like, we're in the military, so.
Yeah. I mean, you signed up for it.
Yeah. I.
And that's why I signed out of it. I don't want to do that no more. But there's lots of things around base happening. I'm sure our squadron's having a potluck, right? Do you like potlucks? Some people are kind of sketched out by potlucks.
I mean, it's free food at the end of the day.
Touche.
I haven't really experienced a bad potluck. Mm. So, you know, all the food is
good. In my airman days, I did not eat at potlucks for a very long time because I went over to my fellow airmen's house because I didn't have a kitchen. I was living in the dorms. Watched their cat use the litter box. Then he jumped on the counter and she was making cookies, right?
That's cat litter in the cookies.
The cat dipped his paw in the cookie batter and she was like, oh, well, it'll cook out. I was like, excuse me. No. And then in my mind, I just imagine everybody's felines dipping their body parts into the different so I
could eat. A little Arm & Hammer cat litter and a cookie dough never hurt anybody.
I enjoy potlucks. What do you even bring anything to the squadron potluck? I mean, no, you don't.
Me? Like me personally?
Yeah.
No.
That's the point of a potluck. You're supposed to bring something.
I mean, if every the single person... If all 162 people
brought something, it would be glorious. The options would be endless. Look, yeah, you're of part it, of the problem.
More than half of it wouldn't get eaten because everybody would be full already.
Or you just take it home with you. Everybody takes it home. I make something every time because I'm a contributor of teams. Mm. I make my buffalo bacon, blue cheese, deviled eggs.
Those are pretty good.
To follow up with Thanksgiving things, don't worry, we're gonna get into the debate of Thanksgiving foods like Dostas and I did last year. But on base, they will be serving Thanksgiving lunch at the dining facility here on base. It will be from 11 to 1, and wing leadership will be there to carve up some meats for everybody. It is for the airmen and retirees if you're interested, so check that out on Thanksgiving Day. And the fur shirts are doing turkey drops for all the airmen that need a little help. I mean, let's be honest, like everybody's kind of struggling this year.
Yeah.
So I love that the shirts do that, and they go this year, they're not only giving out turkeys, but they're giving out all the sides too. That's pretty amazing. That like a good, whole man. Thanksgiving dinner. Love that. What was the first time you ever tried to make Thanksgiving by yourself?
The first time I ever tried to make Thanksgiving by myself?
Yeah. Or have you ever?
I have, yeah. Probably two Thanksgivings ago.
Okay. And how did it go? Not terrible?
No, it wasn't bad. It was just a lot of, you know, prep and cleanup and all that kind of stuff.
Did you YouTube it? Did you fry a turkey or did you bake it?
No, I smoked turkey.
Oh, you're a smoker. Gross.
My cousin is like phenomenal turkey fryer. Like he has it down to a science.
Just don't even talk. My mouth instantly starts salivating when I think of fried turkey.
Like the seasoning and everything, like it's perfect. There's not a dry part of the turkey.
Yeah. I will never ever forget the first time I tried to make Thanksgiving dinner on my own. All the sides, chef's kiss, but my broke airman self in my apartment off base for the first time, I was all by myself this Thanksgiving. And I was like, why would I get myself a whole turkey? So I got myself one of those little chickens.
A rotisserie chicken?
No, not, it was just like a chicken. And I tried to like cook it like it was a turkey.
No.
It came out so shriveled up. And
that's, yeah.
So I ate that Thanksgiving was signed, but it was fine. It was really sad, actually, now that I spoke it out loud. That's really depressing to think.
Shriveled up chicken and yeah. Stuffing. And
some stovetop stuff. Yeah. No, I learned lessons after that.
That's why I always went home for holidays and stuff as an airman.
Yeah, I should have, but I was too stubborn. Okay. Here's where Dostas and I battled it out last year. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Honestly, it's a close tie between like good homemade stuffing and sweet potato casserole.
Love me a good sweet potato casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffing I can live without.
I love a good homemade stuffing.
What about a dessert?
I would probably say I'm not a big pie person, but my sister's mother-in-law makes a really, really good key lime pie.
I've never been able to get down. You Floridians and your key lime everything.
It's not everything.
I can't get down with the key lime.
I don't know what it is about this like specific recipe, but it's so good.
Such a Floridian answer. As I did last year, my favorite dish is my husband's fried turkey. No one else's. Just his fried turkey. Perfection. And dessert is my pumpkin roll. Is that self-absorbed to say my own dessert?
Kind of.
It's so good. And I have never come across somebody else that actually makes it from scratch. Do you know what pumpkin roll is?
I assume it's like...
It's like a spongy pumpkin. It's like pumpkin pie, right? Mm-hmm. But it's spongier.
Yeah.
And you put pecans in it. And you make a cream cheese filling, and then you roll it up.
That sounds really good.
For our potluck, that you're supposed to share dishes. Last topic, Alvarez. Since we're talking all things Thanksgiving, name one thing you're thankful for outside of work and one thing you're thankful for in work.
I mean, I guess it's cliche, but I'm thankful for... You know, my little family that I have going on.
I love your little family. They're wonderful.
My wife and my daughter. Inside of work, probably working with you.
Stop it. That made me happy. Okay. The one thing I'm thankful for outside of work is that my husband's actually home now. And I don't have to single mom it up anymore. Because that is for the birds.
That is good.
I hated every second of that. A year and a half. Inside of work, I am thankful that I have close enough relationships with some of my coworkers that I would consider them family. And you are one of them.
Oh.
Speaking of being thankful, we are thankful for our upcoming guest, Senior Airman Elijah Perez. He is one of our base all-star airmen, and we can't wait for you to get to know him a little better. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website at tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside...
Senior Airman Stefan Alvarez.
And today we have a very special guest. He's one of our favorite airmen on base. His name is Senior Airman Staff Sergeant Select, Elijah Perez. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
We're so happy you're here.
Likewise.
You are a man of many talents. PA uses you for several occasions.
Absolutely.
But you are what we consider a stellar airman. We see your face all over base, even though you have a specific job. So we're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, what your favorite things are to do, how you like Tyndall. Go for it.
Absolutely. So I was born in Orlando, Florida on April 8th of 1998.
We're getting into birthday.
We're going all the way back.
That's a little too deep in it, Perez. Yeah. Just a general.
Rain it back a little bit.
General consensus. So I grew up in Central Florida for 15 years of my life. And a pivotal portion of how I ended up in the Air Force was I moved to Nebraska when I was 15. My oldest sister, her name is a lady's brainer. She's an officer in the United States Air Force. So I moved upstate to Nebraska. She was stationed at Offutt Air Force Base. And I lived in Nebraska for 8 years, and then I pushed the button to join the Air Force during COVID. Seeing all the times that she had gone through supporting her family, supporting our own family, because my mom was diagnosed with colon cancer, and that's why we moved up. It really shined a huge light on how much the military will take care of you if you can help take care of the military and do what you got to do and show up, and all the people that showed her support. So making that choice is how I ended up here. And I remember one of the questions was if I chose my job, and I did not.
You did not choose weather?
No, ma'am. Wow. I went in open general.
Oh, you're brave.
And unknowingly. we could go down the store with my recruiter another time. But I scored very well on the ASVAB, and I really wanted your guys' job. I was in delayed entry program for 11 months shooting for public affairs. Before I joined the military, I started a skateboard magazine. It was an online magazine with a lot of the people in Omaha, Nebraska. So I would do interviews, I would shoot some photos, and I've always been obsessed with that, and that's a big portion of what I like to do for fun. So I'm an avid skateboarder, I've been skateboarding. I'm 26 now, I started when I was about 8, 9, so it's been 17 years. I'm skateboarding for 17 years, eating concrete, eating skin.
I was gonna say, didn't you just have a huge boo-boo?
Oh, like, yes,
from
ma'am.
Skateboarding?
No, I did not. I did not break my pinky toe. I did not break my pinky toe skateboarding. That was at the beach.
Not service related.
But I've sustained many other injuries skateboarding, and I'll keep doing it until I can't do it. And that's been my first love. It's gonna always be my love for the rest of my life. Whether I have the uniform on or not, that's me, truly.
That's awesome.
And I wanted your guys' job badly because it would help me build a portfolio, and I could extend that passion for photography and for filmmaking, and it just didn't pan out, and it's okay.
It's okay.
One of the funny stories about that is I was promised a spot in PA when I went to boot camp during career day. He said, take this paperwork with you, clench onto this folder, and you go to career day, tell them you have a slot and you'll be good to go. Career day comes up. That's not what happens.
Oh no.
I get right into the room and the man says, you have 55 minutes as of right now to choose one job on this list. There's 10 jobs on that list. So out of the 10, I looked and I saw aerospace med and I saw weather. And I stared at those two jobs for 45 minutes. Then I realized I only had 10 minutes left. So I chose weather as number one and aerospace med as number two. My mother was a nurse for a very long time. So I was like, okay, if there's one career path I can follow suit in, we'll try this. Weather sounds pretty cool. Unbeknownst to me, it doesn't matter what you pick on career day. It's almost the same thing. It's what the Air Force needs.
Yeah.
So the first time you put your CAC into the computer and they say, make sure your AFSC code matches with what your job is, that was when I found out, oh, I'm gonna be a forecaster. Sick. I actually met my roommate in the elevator down on the last couple of days of boot camp. And then we ended up being roommates in tech school.
So were you staring at that piece of paper, wishing and praying that the letters would somehow rearrange to say public affairs?
No. Not
and, that what it
and it wasn't
like.
Because it's not that I didn't want to do it. It was just baffling.
Oh.
It was like, oh my gosh, like this is how it panned out.
Yeah.
But it was really good because going through a majority of boot camp, a lot of people, they use that as a drive. Like, I want to get through so I can do this job because this is what I chose.
Yeah.
Whereas in my mind, I don't know what I'm doing. I just need to do a good job.
Yeah.
Because this is all that's left.
Love that.
If this doesn't pan out, I'm kind of screwed. So.
It's almost like destiny though. Like,
just
really good at your job. So.
A little bit. I'm not going to say I'm a little bit too good. I love my job a lot. I love my job a lot, and it really took me by storm when I started to learn about it.
Oh, not the weather puns.
We got them. We got them all day. They're in the pocket. Going through it really was able to grasp onto a lot of parts of my brain that I love science. I love mathematics. Atmospheric science is a whole world in its own that when you learn about it, you realize, oh, I know a lot more about this than I think. But then you go deeper into it and you actually have to apply it. And that's where I found the most interest from it. Weather is one of the few jobs in the Air Force where, on a technicality basis, you can be wrong. But as long as you support why you were wrong, you're in the green. We don't have a step-by-step TO to say, this is how you build a forecast. we have SOPs and we have guidance on how to build products. And of course we have AFMANs and so on and so forth on the rules. And making a forecast is almost like playing a game. So you have certain codes and certain meanings that you can put into a forecast, and they have to go in specific orders and precedents and so on and so forth. But there's essentially a million ways to make a forecast. So finding out how to kind of play these rules around this game to show your story, what you actually think is going to happen or not happen, that in itself was a beautiful challenge for me as soon as I got to Tyndall, because I would really drive in. I once had a goal. I wanted to make an all green forecast. So I would write down what my forecast was every day in these giant 5-star notebooks. Mm-hmm. And then I would go back the next day and I have 3 color pens. So red is that I missed the category, I missed the threshold. Blue was like, I was close, pretty close, the easiest way to say it. Green was I hit.
Yeah.
Everything in that line hit, from visibility, present weather, sky condition, altimeter setting, all of it. Like it hit for that time period. And I never got an all green. Still haven't gotten all green. Everybody and their mother tells me, you will never make an all green forecast. I'm like, oh, you betcha, I'll do it. I'll do it one of these days. Like, I'll do it one of these days.
I'll show you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And the first person who told me that was my supervisor when I first got here, Tenno Sergeant Mahone. He's now Master Sergeant Mahone. He's an amazing, phenomenal person who really shaped and guided my career to where it is now, even though it's been very short. He really saw a lot in me and he didn't put a leash on me.
Yeah.
He really noticed very quickly what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and was able to steer me along in the directions that I wanted to go in and the directions that he saw fit would be the best for me.
That's awesome. I love hearing when supervisors actually like take time to sit down, get to know their person, and then challenge them, but it's so beneficial to the airmen.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you grow in leaps and bounds and makes you just an overall better airman and a better product of the Air Force, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you're green. So I know almost nothing about weather, right? Mm. Like some of my friends geek out about the weather. They follow all the trackers. I follow Mike's weather page.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful
source.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that's another thing too, was that I when I say I like it a little bit too much, there was a good portion of about the first like 9 months that I was here, all my coworkers told me to stop doing weather at home.
You just like watch weather as fun?
And I would literally do it. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I would make forecasts at home. I just pull my computer, plug another computer in the TV or whatever it might be, and I would just learn more.
Wow.
I just want to learn more.
That's
from
some serious dedication, Perez.
Well, it's listening to the experts in the game.
Yeah.
And I call it the game.
Yeah.
But when you really look at it in hindsight, especially when we compare it to other, maybe like science-based jobs or not science-based jobs, right? You have these step-by-step processes that you can do your job. But when it comes down to being essentially, I call it a weather baby.
Yeah.
You go through technical training, it's 8 months. You don't learn everything.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no shot. And if you somewhat do, it's brain jammed into you to just dump.
Right, right.
So when you actually get to whatever location you are in the United States or overseas specifically too, you have to relearn all the nuances and processes that affect where you're at. And that takes a lot more than what they can jam into you in 8 months.
Right.
So
yeah.
Getting here, the one thing, I just want to hit the ground, just running.
Yeah.
I want to be the best forecaster. I still want to be the best forecaster I can be for this location and any location that I go to. That's the one way I feel like I can actually divvy out a lot of good benefits for the Air Force. Just be really good at what you do.
So when you came to Tyndall, did you think, because obviously are we past hurricane season now?
Just about. We have, this is the 12th, so there's 19 more days.
Okay, so we're going to knock on some particle board and say, hopefully it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But you coming to Tyndall, did you expect all the hurricane weather and like, do you think as a weather professional that this is like a high intensity spot for a weather person?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So expecting it, yes. Growing up in Florida, you just know.
Yeah.
The seasons are going to either be fairly active, super active, or not that active, but you're going to have hurricanes. Specifically at Tyndall, it is a really good spot for hurricanes to track them coming out of the Gulf. And then you kind of wait for that wobble to see where they're actually going to go.
Right.
Granted, this year we know MacDill's probably gotten the worst end of the stick.
For sure.
By far.
Yeah.
And of course, a handful of years ago, we got the worst end of the stick. But this location specifically, it does give you a really, really, really good scope on how much a natural occurring phenomenon that no one has control over can impact the entire installation.
Yeah.
Everybody on this installation. And so sitting through those HER-Xs when I first got here, because of course I'd never seen anything like that, but specifically with something like a natural disaster, seeing every base commander at those tables and all the decision trees that they go through and learning about each HER-Con and so on and so forth, that was super eye-opening. And then being able to realize I need to be on my game.
Yeah.
Like in the future,
They have to make big decisions like evac notifications, you know, based on you and your team and your data that you're providing them.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah. And then just for reference, forecasters at Tyndall, we don't forecast hurricanes. Like we don't do our natural processes for other weather for hurricanes. We follow the National Hurricane Center.
Right.
Even with that being said, relaying accurate information in a timely manner is all in its own challenge. And then figuring out, like we had figured out a few weeks ago, what's the best way that we can format all this information into one digestible graphic so that when it goes to everybody, there's little to no questions on the back end and they get it on a timely manner. Where it really hits to be like a hot time is when that hurricane or that tropical system is within like 400 nautical miles and it's coming in a general direction of the base. And then that's where we adjust our own forecasts. So for instance, Hurricane Debbie, that was the weekend after I broke my toe. So I was sitting in the shop over the weekend with a broken toe.
I love how we're like time stamping events over your bodily injuries.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. I love doing that, attaching timestamps to like significant occurrences. And like, it was like 6 months and 3 days after whatever that happened. But that one was definitely a good example of that in itself. So the hurricane tracked a little bit more northeastward than we intended it to, or how that it originally looked. And then that in its own impacted what the wind fields were going to be for the Air Force Base. So we had amended the forecast several times, and then you amend the main forecast and then you have to amend all the products that go out. And then you see, you could even see it in the data, like a handful of days beforehand, the winds are a little bit higher, and then depending on how that system will progress, they'll either sustain that speed or you'll knock them down a handful of notches to represent what's really going to be happening.
Right. This is so informative. I feel overwhelmed right now, Perez.
Imagine doing it.
No thanks. I love my job, but in hindsight, we consider you an honorary PA because of all the things you do for us. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Sick.
My You're
dream,
welcome.
I have just partially fulfilled.
Just now bestowed that upon you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk natural disasters. So my biggest fear is tornadoes.
Tornadoes?
Do you guys learn tornadoes, or is that like not so much a?
Oh, we learn them.
Yeah.
We learn them quite a bit. Yes. One thing that I can once again attach. So one of the things now I like to listen to and read and watch, they're called case studies.
Okay.
They do case studies for hurricanes. Like they do case studies for a bunch of other stuff. Like for instance, like medical stuff.
Yeah.
They do case studies. They do case studies for weather, and seeing tornado outbreaks and how quickly they form.
Yeah.
Is insane.
Yeah.
So seeing it real time, one of the things that we rely on quite a bit to sustain MetWatch is called Meteorological Watch here at Tyndall, especially with the Gulf taking up so much space of what is around us. It's called Gibson Ridge, or it's radar.
Okay.
So Doppler radar, you got your big old ball here, and what that Doppler radar does is it shoots out beams. If you think of a beam like a gun, it shoots out one beam or like a bullet, and it sends it out, and then as soon as it hits a target, it comes back. So that target is anything in that, essentially anything in the atmosphere. Radar gives us that capability to do is to see tornadoes actually form real time. So in places like the Midwest, or the Southeast CONUS, closer to like Texas, you know, Hurricane Alley and stuff like that, a lot of these case studies show how quickly they spin up on radar. And if you're not really, really, really adamant about watching it,
right,
you can miss, all it takes is 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
5 minutes, because what they'll do is they essentially start to populate slides, snapshots of the atmosphere in different tilts.
Yeah.
Because it's not just one beam. It's a bunch of different beams on an axis of a giant circle. So all it takes is 5 minutes for an outbreak to start. And if you weren't really watching it, like, you'll miss really important lead time, not just for whatever your metrics are, but for the sense of safety. Like, legit, 5 minutes is all it takes.
Yeah.
You have a tornado outbreak, that's 5 minutes gone that you could have started pushing buttons, making phone calls,
right,
and letting people know there is a active tornado barreling towards wherever you're at.
Yeah. I will never forget my first tornado. I was at Dias, of course. And the sirens started going off and we saw it off in the distance.
Yeah.
My Philadelphia self was like, oh no, I don't do tornadoes. And I like actually went and hid.
Good
but
job.
All the Texans and all them country boys were standing at the window like, yeah, yeehaw, let's go watch this tornado outside.
Oh no.
I was like, what is wrong with y'all? Not this is not me. Okay.
Natural selection.
That's, yes, at its finest. Mm-hmm. At its finest. I've seen videos of people standing filming hurricanes start to roll in.
Yeah.
And there's
like,
one.
What are you doing?
This lady got sucked out of a window. Just
crazy. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, man?
Yeah. No, not for me. No.
There are some things that you can test the waters with. Mother Nature's not one of them.
No.
Would you ever be a storm chaser?
If I could afford it. If I genuinely could afford it.
Because they load their vehicles up with all the fancy gadgets,
interior,
right?
Exterior. Oh, yes. We have a civilian that is in our shop. Steven Cross. Shout
what?
Out to Steven Cross. He storm chases.
Okay, so 90%, let's just say 90% of the storm chasers, they're not actually working for a news affiliate, correct?
No, ma'am.
They're just enjoying the rush of chasing the storm.
100%. Yeah. Some people do it independently. Some people run like... I don't want to say, they run like experience tours. So you pay in advance for, you can pay in advance to book out.
Let me drive you into this tornado.
And literally, yes.
Great idea.
Like,
great idea.
You will be along for the ride and we will go and find new tornadoes to see and stuff like that. Yes. And even then, those are very stressful. And if you're doing it independently, it's extremely stressful because one thing Steven really did relate to me, and it was very eye-opening, is we're sitting at a desk and we are watching it happen.
Right.
But it's for the matter of safety.
Yes.
They're in a car barreling down roads.
Throwing your safety out the door, literally.
Essentially. And monitoring the weather. And now they have to make split second decisions. Do we
Seriously?
Take this exit?
Yeah.
Do we take this exit? Do we follow this road down? Because it's one wrong turn and we miss the storm.
Yeah.
Or like, you're in.
Or you're in.
Or
the
you're
middle
in
of it.
It. Yes.
And yeah. Your truck is lifted up.
Like Twister style. There's cows.
Yes. Yeah. So it's. I'm a big fan of dice rolls, but that's for me.
Yeah. That's
a dice
too much.
Roll. I could do it knowing I could afford it and do it safely.
Mm.
I already take enough risk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is like blowing my brain. I didn't know people were like willingly.
I didn't know storm chasers took ride-alongs. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Enough about weather. Enough about weather.
For now. Yeah.
Your job is very in-depth. And I don't think without us having you tell us, right? But like the background knowledge or the passion or love for weather, a lot of people are going to grasp all the things that you just divulged to us.
Yeah.
But I love it. But you do so much more than weather.
Mm.
Like, you are one of our go-to guys, and this is why we love you so much. We have a mission briefer program here. It is a program ran by Colonel Cable, and it's to get the airmen more involved with, like, when we have tours of people visiting base. You and your team of airmen, of the mission briefers, you go in and you explain not only the history of Tyndall, but like what our mission is and why it's so important. So just tell everybody a little bit about like what it's like to be a mission briefer for Tyndall.
Absolutely. So foremost, I love attaching stories to things. I bombed my very first brief for the wing mission briefers.
100% you did.
Already being a natural briefer in the career field, I felt good going into it, but it was my first legitimate bomb as a briefer. I vividly remember sitting in my car and I swore, oh, I'd never sworn so hard. I would never botch a brief like that ever again because it was twofold. And it's something that I've always carried with me is like, whatever name is on my uniform, that's attached to what I'm doing, what I'm displaying, mm-hmm. what I'm putting out there. I'm never, ever going to have the Betis name on something like that ever again.
Aw, I love that.
But then twofold, it was like, wow, I don't ever want that to happen to anybody else again. Mm-hmm. And the program was still pretty small. Yeah. And there wasn't too many people getting out there and trying to go do it. And I realized if I keep doing this, other people are going to have to do it. So I want to get really good at it and let them know, like, all right, if you do this in advance, you'll be just yeah. fine. You'll be absolutely just fine. And I like the program a lot for the term like briefing, because there's no words. There's words on the slides.
Yeah.
But there's not like a bulk of words.
It's not death by PowerPoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can actually do it kind of how you see fit and how you want to explain things. And that was another thing that really attracted me to want to do it and step outside of my initial comfort zone. Because if you brief about what you like or whatever your job is, that's super easy.
Yeah.
Now take a skill set or take a set of events and whatever it might have, and now display that to people like distinguished visitors or people coming to, you know, brand new to Tyndall, which today's Tuesday. I'm doing a welcome brief tomorrow morning. So yeah, it's kind of ironic. I get to talk about this now. And really give them that light. And
yeah.
and being one of the either the first people that people hear about and hear about what the mission is going on, or for the instance of distinguished visitors, that's huge.
Yeah, you've got quite an array of distinguished visitors you've met, huh?
Yes, yes, so I have.
Name off the top three.
Top three?
Yep, go.
Okay, 15th Air Force Commander, General David B. Lyons. That was my favorite one. I think you guys even might remember, that was probably my best.
Oh yeah, that was really, really good, yeah.
That one was solid. The Senator of Florida, that was my second one, because growing up in Florida, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This one's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then our current, no, I don't think I did. I didn't do a wing mission brief for CSAF. It was the ACC commander. So yeah. The ACC commander would be the third one.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. But you got to meet all those people and not, you know, like, okay, so 99% of the rest of base really don't get to have that experience.
Oh, it was insane. And I realized after the whole brief had commenced and stuff like that, there's people who will wear their ACC patch for their entire career
yeah.
and never meet the commander.
Right.
So being able to have the opportunity or be given the opportunity to brief someone like that and meet someone like that and get to shake their hand and see the impact it has just on the installation and our leaders here. Oh, it's huge. It was huge.
Yeah. I love that. I love how enthusiastic you are about it and how you took your bad experience and you said never again. And now you are the best mission briefer we have. No offense to our other mission briefers, but Perez has been this since
the beginning.
Yeah.
Just about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
I love that. Like, don't let one bad time ruin it. Just make yourself better. And if you are interested, and this is for any airman on base, honestly, if you are interested in becoming a mission briefer and getting involved, A, it's a great bullet, right, Perez?
Yes, ma'am. We'll say it. It's honestly, you know, if that's something you're looking after and you want to bolster your package, I don't think we should kind of hide around the topic at all. It honestly is. It's a good bullet.
Yeah.
If you actually come to it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There we go.
Do not.
There we go. I was gonna say it. Yeah. I'm glad someone did say it.
No, yeah. I'll say it because it. I had to be the one running this program for so long. Do not sign up. And then don't show up. Mm-hmm. We don't like that. We will kick you from the cool kid club.
Ineffective.
But if you're interested in doing it, it is a good time. It is a good experience. It helps you grow. It teaches you professionalism and speaking in front of others. So if you're interested, just send us an email at public affairs, or you can even reach out to Perez if you feel more comfortable with Perez. He's like our team captain. That about wraps it up here with Senior Airman Perez. Thank you so much for coming by. We learned so much. That was really fun.
Yes. Thank you guys very, very, very much for having me. I'm always appreciative of public affairs' time. And I'm indebted. I feel like I'm indebted to you guys.
No.
But thank you guys very much. I more than appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I'd like to shout out my mom and dad. Thank you, mom and dad. You guys made a winner. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Perez, for making such a winner airman.